Satan is silent.
I was a little shocked. I was sitting in the living room of a member of a congregation I was serving at the time, and I didn't think she was angry at me, but she sure seemed to be talking to me. Satan, heal! Well, then the big black dog that she was actually addressing lunged across the room to her side with a very penetrating growl. I was glad he was healing and not lunging at me. There have been a number of times in my life when I wished I could command a dog, silent, heal. Of course, my wish wasn't that I could say the words. It's that those words would affect that command. How much more important it is that those words can be addressed to our spiritual attack dog. The text we would look at this morning takes us to the court of heaven to behold the high priest who does indeed effect those words. Satan, heal. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Satan means the accuser. And notice thus the doubling up of this character description in our text, because we're told Satan is standing at the right hand of Joshua to oppose, or to literally accuse him before the Lord. In Revelation chapter 12, we actually have a triple emphasis on that character description, where we're told that Satan is accusing our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night. So who's the Joshua? It's not the one you're probably familiar with, leading the children of Israel into Palestine about 1500 years before Christ. This is the high priest who accompanied them in the return from the Babylonian captivity about 500 BC. As high priest, he was representing all the people. And so they, with him, are being accused of being wretched criminals. Yes. And of course, he would accuse us of being the same. Verse 3, we read, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Literally, garments of shame. Covered with excrement, an offense both to sight and to smell. And yes, aren't we guilty? Haven't we acted in the same way that Joshua and Israel did? We also have been made God's people by His grace. We've been delivered from the captivity of sin. And yet we have not always sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We call on His name, and yet often, isn't it, to get our own desires? While we fail to honor Him as the Lord of our life. They apparently felt the lack of success, not only in their own earthly life, but also in their kingdom work. And they were blaming God for it. You're not restraining our enemies. You're not reestablishing our earthly glory. But haven't we done that also at times? Yes, you and I are just as odious before God as Joshua was. And Satan is standing there with his finger pointing at you and me, accusing us, declaring, Lord, their sins prove they are unworthy to be your people, to function as priests. They don't have the right to pray to you. They don't have the right to intercede for anyone. And we ourselves have given Satan that ammunition that he hurls against us. Because it is our sins that he accuses us of. And so he is actually declaring to God, you can't listen to them, you have to punish them. Or else, you are abandoning justice and have to give your throne to me. In accordance with the holy law, we deserve that just punishment. So how can any man stand before God and ask for anything, for ourselves or for others? We don't have a right to his mercy. We're no match for Satan in his accusations. And yet listen to what now happens in our text. The Lord himself steps forward to be your champion, our friend. Verse 2. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Even though the Lord knows every corrupt thought we've ever had, yet in his grace, he chose Jerusalem. He chose his church. He chose you in Christ Jesus. What's this brand? Well, if you have a roaring fire and you throw dry tinder in it, that would be the brand. What happens? Very quickly, it blazes up with the fire, doesn't it? But then as now, our Lord Jesus grabs that dry tinder, we who so easily could be burned, and snatches us out of the fire of his righteous judgment. The very one, the judge, who can properly destroy us, steps forward to be your protector. The Lord, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier declares, Satan, silent. Heal. The Lord restrains Satan's malicious rage. He rejects his malicious accusation. He vows revenge on his malicious enmity. Jesus doesn't parley with Satan. He stops his mouth so that you and I can exult with Romans 8. Who can bring any charge against you who are in Christ Jesus? Yeah, we may be in the fire, covered with soot, choking on the smoke. But the moment Satan points the finger to accuse you of sin, Jesus steps forward to say, Satan, heal. Be silent. Listen to verse 4. Then Christ, the angel of the Lord, answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to Joshua, and so to us, he said, See, I have removed your iniquity from you. I will clothe you with rich robes. Notice the three things that are done here for you. First, the stench and stain of sin is taken away. We're washed clean in His blood. Second, we're clothed in His rich robes. Jesus' own righteousness. And did you catch the third thing that's happening here? The power of iniquity is also broken. By that renewing grace that enables us to go on putting off the old man and putting on the new man in Christ. Behold, Jesus is the high priest who effects Satan silent, healed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 371, stanzas 1 and 2.